Welcome to High Techies Podcast. I'm your host, Pramod Thakal. In the High Techies Podcast, we talk to a lot of entrepreneurs and leaders who are trying to solve the worldly problems. We talk on various topics from starting a business to finding funds to hiring and managing people. But most importantly, we talk about the actual problems they are trying to solve.
Now, on this episode of High Techies Podcast, I'm speaking to Ahmed Alsamadis. Ahmed is currently the CEO of AI startup Narrator.ai, a YC-backed company that is trying to standardize all data analysis. Ahmed, welcome.
Ahmed, thank you very much for joining this particular session. Maybe we should start from the beginning, right? You know, I read about you. You know, you are listed as under 30 entrepreneur in Forbes as well. So maybe let's start with your journey. Like, why did you started this particular journey as an entrepreneur?
First, thank you for having me here. And yeah, the journey was really, really kind of just flew naturally. I went to Cornell and I studied robotics. So I was always interested in how technology and humans work together and how we make decisions. Worked my way into missile defense, where I did AI for missile defense, where I got to see the power of AI and like kind of computer and intelligent decision making. And then everything changed when I went to WeWork, where WeWork was a fast growing company and we were trying to make decisions, but the data wasn't the way it used to be in kind of missile defense, where it's like been years and years of structuring that data to make it usable for analysis. For WeWork, it was a startup and it was moving fast and it was buying companies and it had a lot of systems and a lot of data. And people don't realize it, but WeWork was 85 different systems with 5,000 raw tables of data and just a humongous world that you had to wrap your head around to answer questions. And I started using tools and the team kept growing and I kept hiring and kept using more tools. And it felt like I was cycling. I used four different BI tools, a bunch of different transformation tools, different EL tools, and I kept running into the same problem where we still couldn't make decisions fast enough. Then I grew the team to be 45 people and still we couldn't make decisions fast enough. So I ended up trying to look into why that happens. Why has decisions been take so long to make decisions? Why is everything so hard to do in data? And why is the only solution available is to throw people at the problem? And I talked to a bunch of other companies and I realized that pretty much everyone in the world is doing the same kind of thing, using just different tools to do the same approach. And where everyone's kind of imagining the questions you want to ask, building a table to answer those kind of questions and then giving it to people to slice and dice. And this just doesn't work. People always come up with questions that they don't have data for, and then they have to go back to your team and it's like 2 to 4 weeks to get the data again. So this led me to want to build something different. And what I left to go build Narrator, the idea was I want to build a tool where anyone can ask any question and get an answer in under 10 minutes. And the idea here is if you want to be able to build something that can work for anyone, for any company, and answer any question in under 10 minutes, you have to be very clever and you have to be very creative. And that was the journey that kind of started Narrator. Just how do we do this thing that's that seems to be impossible?
As far as your background is concerned, you have a background in computer science or engineering, or what kind of background do you have?
Yeah, I studied robotics, which was a mixture of computer science and mechanical engineering.
So indeed, you had those background as a tech person, because sometimes what I hear from entrepreneurs is like they see a problem and they actually jump into that by hiring more people, but they know the business challenges and maybe they are able to articulate the challenge to the developers. That is also a process on its own to start a company. So that's where the question is coming from.
Yeah, it's a great question. When I think about startups, I think of two kinds of companies. There's often technology innovation and a business model innovation. So a lot of times companies which are founded by non-technical people, they're doing what's called the business model innovation. They found something that exists, they found a need that exists, and they can tie them together and use software to facilitate that transaction. Stripe, Airbnb, all these, Uber, are all the core concepts exist, and the innovation is in the kind of mechanism to access it. Those companies can be easily founded by non-technical people because the technology is the facilitator, not the innovation. When you're building a company like Narrator, the technology is the innovation. When we started Narrator, it wasn't about communicating like this business model that was going to work and tying this need together. It was really about articulating a problem and saying, if this problem is solved, there's a lot of high value and we need to do research and figure out a way to solve this problem. Where the solution wasn't actually very clear. We had an idea because I had built a version of, I had started building a version of the solution in WeWork and kind of like started kind of testing a lot of ideas. So I had an idea of what I wanted it to be, but the solution never came out until like 3 years later when Narrator actually started really working. So I think that being, I still like till today, write a lot of the core data nuanced backend code of Narrator. And I think that's because articulating that innovation is significantly harder than doing the innovation. So that's kind of why I would push a lot of companies, like if you're a technical founder, I think you need to be a technical founder to do a technology innovation. And if you're doing a business model innovation, it's kind of, you just need to understand the market and I need to understand your customer.
And how challenging is to explain this particular concept to people who are used to using, like you said, some BI tools, and they think like that was it, right? And you are now coming up and saying, hey guys, like, you know, maybe this is the solution we are all seeking for.
So it's so funny. So Narrator's been around for nearly 5 years, and every demo I do, I tell a person, and I'm like, well, what if all your data was take all your data and put it into one table? And just imagine like all the data for your company being put into like one 11 column Excel sheet that doesn't have any JSON blobs or any, like just simple 11 column Excel sheet. And what if I could answer any question you have with that table in under 10 minutes? And everyone who hears this idea of what we call this, the activity schema, which is this innovation, they go, whoa, like it's impossible for you to get my data is so nuanced, it's so complicated, there's no way you can make it into one table. My transformation layer today is 700 tables. And you then show them how I get all their data into a single table. And then they're like, oh, that makes sense. But like, there's, how the hell are you going to use this table to answer any question? None of the questions I have will be answered by this table. And then I give the second part of the demo where I say, ask me any question you could imagine. And if I can't answer that question in 10 minutes, then we should end this call now. Until today, I have not had a single question that I have not been able to answer with Narrator in under 10 minutes. So what's amazing is that, so they see me do it, they see me answer any question, and they're still confused about like, how is this possible? Like, this can't work. Then they go through a POC and we do a couple of questions and I'm like, ask me any questions. We'll do a couple of questions that we do it and they'll see it. And then they'll be like, oh, whoa, most of the questions can be answered this way. Usually it's about like 2-3 weeks when they're like mulling it over. Then honestly, like, once they sign up as a customer, a month later, they're like, oh my God, this is a revolution. I finally get why this answers every question. So it's like not an easy thing. Like now with the ability to show it and demo it and have the user use it, it takes about a month or two before it clicks why this is the most innovative thing in data. But beforehand, you can imagine, it's like this complicated theory of an idea of how it works. And it's actually based on something very simple. And like Narrator itself is based on something, a core concept that's so human that is the reason why it works. But in terms of explaining it, like how it works, it's just like you have to, like just using it just continues to amaze you. It amazes me. Honestly, like we have enough companies now and I've answered maybe like hundreds and thousands of questions. And I'm still amazed that like, it still works. It's like every question is still being answered. It's like, what? This is real.
When you are able to answer people's question, that definitely amazes a lot of people. And often the solution itself is very simple, right? For the most complex problems.
Yeah, our solution is beautifully simple. So our solution actually came up just so you know it. So a narrative does is that it takes your data and makes it into kind of a time series story centered around your customer. So imagine your customer comes into your site, your customer calls you, customer buys something, your customer returns something. We have a very innovative way of taking all your data and making this like a long, imagine a very long customer journey. And you're able to then kind of take this question, and the way you ask questions, like give me how when someone ordered, how likely they are to come again, and give me the first website, the first time they came to our website, and give me the ad source of it so I can have my first touch attribution. You're using words in narrator like first and before and after and in between. And because you can use this kind of contextual words, you're just able to kind of tell the story of the data that you're trying to create and instantly create it. And that's the innovation. And what it was based off of is today you can read a tech blog. You can read Netflix's blog and you can understand the algorithm that they used and how they solved the problem without ever understanding how their data looks like. And the reason why you're able to understand their analysis and everything they're doing is because they're explaining it as a function of the lowest dimension that we all understand, which is someone doing something in time, and we're just arranging that data in a way that highlights this insight. Why doesn't data look like that? Why doesn't data behave that way? So then if it did behave that way, then all questions are super simple, because if you can explain it, you can answer it. And because you're talking about your customer, everything is already super easy to use and you can easily answer those questions. This exact questions that we mentioned, when you do them the traditional way and you're thinking about like tables and objects, takes weeks and just very, very error prone and very complicated. And that's kind of the difference between like the narrator approach, which we call the activity schema, and the traditional approach, which is known as star schema. You're getting just so much simplicity, so much ease of use, and it honestly makes sense. It makes so much sense that we find that non-technical users pick up our structure way faster than technical users. And we have like senior data scientists using it for algorithms. So like we have a wide range of customer users, but we see that non-technical people just have an easier time wrapping their head around it, while people who are used to the traditional way kind of have to a little bit unlearn what they're used to and then learn this new way.
Interesting point that you raised. You know, you mentioned like the non-technical people will have an easier time playing with the tool. Can you give some use cases for non-technical people, like who are not used to playing with SQL queries and all that? How do you help those people?
You get rid of SQL. Like they don't use SQL. You're not like, you don't have to worry. In narrator, there's no SQL. There's no joins. Like there is some of that stuff in the setup, but once your data is in restructured into our activity schema, the user is just telling a story. So like, let's take an example of someone dealing with an email attribution model, and they want to know like what email leads to an order. Like somebody opens the email, do they actually buy? If you give this to a non-technical person, they'll just say, okay, give me every email that somebody opened and give me if they bought right after, before the next email. That's enough to know that this person can open the email and bought right away. I'm going to attribute that email to an order. They can do that in two clicks in narrator and then they're done. And they have the email attribution model. They can look at conversion rate. And there's a lot of stuff that we do automatically to help them answer that question very fast. Everyone is listening to this podcast right now and is a technical user knows that what I just said is like insane, because if they were going to do it in the traditional way, the way that they naturally think about it is, okay, I need to put UTM parameters on the email and I need to track clicks. And when somebody clicks an UTM parameter, I need to make sure that UTM parameter is captured on the site. And then I need to make sure that's cascaded across the order. And then I can join on the UTM parameter from that join to that join, so I can tie the same order to that email. And it only works if everyone follows all the rules and everything works magically, which never happens. And this is going to be a huge thing because you're bridging three systems. So I'm going to have to spend like a week debugging it and figuring out why these things don't match. And then I can get the answer. So that's what the technical person is used to, that flow pathway. And the non-technical person is just thinking, open the email, give me the order. And what narrator does is that it makes that non-technical way of thinking about their data just work. So when a technical user, the non-technical people is just able to get that instant email attribution model, which your data team will take a month to build. And for a data person to kind of pick that same one up, they're going to have to like unlearn what they are naturally about to go do and spend like weeks in this debugging nightmare of getting this answer, and then learn this new way that's a lot simpler, a lot more the way designed for the way that we ask and answer questions.
You mentioned about using it for, you know, non-technical versus the technical people. And I wanted to ask you a question, which is perhaps a lame question, but still I'll give it a try. With your solution, is this something, you know, agnostic of a particular industry, or, you know, agnostic of, I don't know, platform? Maybe it's better suited off on e-commerce versus, I don't know, any kind of other platforms?
It's a great question. Honestly, this is like not a lame question at all. It's one of the best questions that people often ask us. Most tools that try to do something that we're like, they try to kind of standardize data, which is what we do, we standardize all of data, often choose a platform. They're like, we are an e-commerce standardization. And when we were building Narrator, our investors were constantly saying, hey, just focus on one vertical. And we were not about that. What we wanted to do was create something that everyone can use. And that means it had to be industry and platform agnostic. And today we have huge insurance companies using Narrator, like software SaaS companies using Narrator, product people using Narrator, e-commerce using Narrator, media companies using Narrator, and so many other like security companies using Narrator. A company where their business model is like online, offline meets advertising meets consulting, like using Narrator. Like, we have data companies themselves building their companies on top of Narrator. So you're seeing this just kind of wide range of usage. So I would say that based on everything that I've seen, we're pretty agnostic to industry and sectors.
You know, when you look at your client base, you know, when you say, okay, you know, it is industry agnostic, but still, you know, you might see, okay, you know, if you look at the client base and say, oh, our client base is predominant of, I don't know, insurance or predominant of financial sector or somewhere, right? Can you maybe look into that aspect, say, hey, maybe we are more successful if we focus on, or, you know, if the client is of X type, you know, I don't know, it could be insurance or e-commerce or, you know, any other industry, because I'm sure there would be some kind of limitations within the solution, right?
Yes, I 100% agree with you. And the reason why we keep kind of going after very different companies and very different sizes. So we deal with like Fortune 500 to tiny startups of like four people and all sorts of things in between is because I want to discover what that limitation is. It's fascinating to see that the way we ask and answer questions is consistent across every company in the world. So and so that like we have template and analysis that we can copy from one company to another that we give to a lot of our customers. And you see that the questions haven't really changed. Like whether you want to know if a price change in a claim impacts the likelihood for someone to complete the claim is the same for you to answer the question of how does like submitting a ticket make it likely for you to churn, which is the same question of how does viewing a paywall increase your likelihood to become a converted customer, which is the same question as like, how does a GitHub action failure increase the likelihood for the process to break? All these kind of questions are all actually the same exact question, yet they answer very different questions for very different customers for very different sectors. So we definitely have like a little bit of a skew toward e-commerce, which is like, I think maybe like 20%, but the rest of it is pretty, pretty wide in terms of Narrator. We really don't have it. We have different kinds of companies that really resonate with what we do. And they're just like, it changes the sales cycle where they just like are much faster to convert. But I think that the point that I would like to show the world in Narrator is that data can be commoditized. And I say commoditized instead of democratized. I don't want to give everyone access to data. I want to make answering data questions something that everyone just has like as nothing. It's just like something that everyone uses. And to do that, you need a solution that is encompassing of a lot of questions, because you don't want to build something that like works for 80% of e-commerce and then breaks when someone asks a unique question, because that's where all the innovation lies. If you can answer 80% of all the marketing questions, great. So can every other company. And you're going to not be able to beat your competition. the way you compete with your competition is you make the 80% given to everyone, and you compete on who can ask the best question that allows that extra percent of innovation against the competition. And that question needs to be creative. That question needs to be something that that company is understanding. And to do that, you need to be able to show that you can answer any question, which means you can't be limited by someone asking a question. We see this all the time. People who come from like baseball, we have a baseball team, and they're like used to some sort of analysis like RFM. And then we see that person being hired in an e-commerce setting and using an RFM analysis to do like lead scoring. And you're like, wow, like that is clever. They're crossing industries and using approaches that were pioneered in different industries to use in other industries. And we want to make sure that Narrator can support all that kind of beautiful collaboration and beautiful transition of information.
You know, you mentioned a lot of interesting aspect of Narrator so far. Now I want to sort of, take you back into the journey of an entrepreneur one more time, and maybe ask you some of the learnings, right? So when you are a visionary, you know, you have an idea, you work day in and day out on that, and when you are successful, you know, people are going to say, hey, you know, you are a visionary, you did it. But you know, I'm sure, you know, within this journey, you would have seen some ups and downs. Can you maybe, you know, highlight some of the low time that you had during this time?
Yeah, I think that most people forget, like to talk about the wins and you forget the low times.
Yes.
So I can tell you a lot about the low times.
And tell me the one which you felt like, shit, this is it. You know, I don't want to do anything anymore. But you then again started, you know. So maybe
Oh yeah, I'll tell you the hardest time I've had a Narrator. Yeah. And like, I remember because I was going home and actually crying. So when we started building Narrator, we raised like a pre-seed and a seed round, and we hired a really good team. We had these people who were like, we were averaging like 15 years of experience. Everyone was so talented, and there was eight of us this time. And everyone really, really like took huge page cuts and really believed in what we were trying to do and believed in me. And I promised to take care of them. So Narrator was working in theory, but using it was like using an airline dashboard. It was like a million to get it to like, it was like 100,000 buttons just because it was so complicated. And now today we simplified it to be one drop down. But like back then, before we had kind of that 2020 vision, we were like still trying to figure out how to make it work. And there was like all these dimensions. So we couldn't get customers to buy in. Like people would like kind of, I would spend like weeks trying to explain to them the vision, but nobody would buy in. And the customers that we did have that were using it were like not happy. They were struggling to figure out how to use it. And they're like, why is it so different than everything I'm used to? And you're like, that's the point. So soon we lost our customers and we weren't getting any new ones. And months go by and we can't close a new customer. And we're running out of money. So we have like enough runway for like 3 months. The company has no customers and we're going to die. And I'm like, what do you do there? So I was like, okay. So at that time I brought everyone to the room and I was like, hey guys, like, I don't know what we can do. Like we can try to push for it. This is not like, I still believe in this idea and I still want to build it, but I don't know how we can survive this way, especially with the people that we have on the team. It's just like not going to work. So everybody volunteers to go down to minimum wage. So we drop everyone's salary to $35,000. And everyone pretty much says, okay, let's just maintain our healthcare. Let's go down to minimum wage. And we'll keep fighting through it. We'll figure out a way out. Like this is an innovation. This is something truly spectacular. We know that the world needs it. We're committed. And everyone we have worked with has like been working for so many years. They know the problem so in and out. So they were like, no, this needs to be, we need to finish this. We need to bring this to the world. So everyone drops down to minimum wage and month go by, 2 months go by, still running out of money. Still don't have any customers. At that moment, you as CEO have to do something that is really hard. You have to cut your team. And you're telling someone, so I had to let go of half the team.
As more companies embrace the advantages of hiring global talent, they are realizing that benefits are still very localized and constrained by national borders. That is, until our partner Safety Wing decided to do something about it. Safety Wing is on a mission to fix the problem of remote employee benefits by offering borderless benefits for remote and distributed teams. Safety Wing's remote health insurance works in any country, whether you live there or are just visiting. Add anyone affiliated with your company to one simple plan that gets cheaper as you scale, and customize your policy to make it perfect for your team. Safety Wing's remote health allows company to offer equal benefits to the whole team, no matter where they live or are located. Your team is global. Their benefits should be global too. Go to safetywing.com/remote health to learn more. That is safetywing.com/remote health.
Because I couldn't keep, like, the job of CEO is to make sure there's enough money in the bank. And I failed miserably. There wasn't enough money. There wasn't customers. There wasn't people. And I was leading the product and I was leading the data. So the reason why the product is bad is me. And everyone just said they spent 2 months going down to minimum wage to show that they are committed to building this thing. But what do you do from there? I don't want them to, like, we can't continue on minimum wage because eventually we just die out. And, like, these people have lives and families. And, like, most of our people that worked with us at that time had, like, families. And we're like, no, we can't keep doing this. So I had to fire half the team, let go of half the team. And that was soul crushing. If you ever want to know what it's like, forget all the pain of anything and dealing with investors, having to let go of half your team because you can't afford to pay them after the day that they've already volunteered to go down to minimum wage. And they're, like, super experienced people that could be making, like, a trillion times more. Like, you're lost. And we keep the last bit of the team and we're like, okay, we need to figure out a way to, like, to survive. This is really bad. Like, is it worth it? What are we going to do? And everyone is panicking. The last three people are, like, panicking with me. It's so tough. It's so insane. And we don't know what to do. I remember, like, just, like, being in tears. Like, I don't, like, this is going to die. The company's dead. Like, I don't know what else I can come out of this. There's no, like, magic pill that we're going to just randomly get customers. Like, the company's going to die. And it just happened to be that we got accepted. We had to, like, apply to YC, like, just in case, because we already raised a lot of money. So we're like, oh, there's no point to YC. So I was like, whatever, let's just, we got into YC and we decided to go just do the interview and we got accepted. And it was so confusing too, because when we got accepted to YC, YC didn't understand what we were building. And they're like, we don't know what you're building. We don't get your company, but you've somehow convinced these really talented people to join you. So clearly, like, there's something there. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the remainder of my team and I was like, oh my God, like, this is just like, we're just four people left. And we all decided to go to YC together and kind of, like, take this last, like, 3 months to do a hurrah. So as you can imagine, our energy is pretty low. We're exhausted. We're miserable. It's been a really tough time. And that wasn't the hardest part yet. Like, you think you're at your lowest, but you go to YC and you have this vision and everyone starts building doubt because everyone is telling you it's not working. Change your idea. It's not working. Build something simpler. Why don't you build a mix panel? Why don't you build an amplitude? You're also talented. Build a BI tool. Everybody loves BI. Build another BI tool. Like, there's 300 of them. Everyone loves them. Build another, like, CDP. Like, everyone loves CDPs. They're so nice. Everyone loves CDPs. Build, like, these tools. And you're like, those don't solve the problem. And they're like, well, what you have doesn't solve the problem either. And that was probably the hardest because it was out of exhaustion. We're all going down to YC and the partners are like, what the fuck are you doing? And the rest of the team is like, I don't know why we're doing this. Everyone's just doubt. We were like arguing a lot. It was just really hard. We've given up so much to build this and now we're arguing every day. And it's just a disaster. We don't have enough money to do it. And I remember we sat down together and I was like, I really believe this is the future and we need to solve this problem. I don't care about making money. I don't care about building a company. I care about solving this problem. And I want you, and if you guys care about solving this problem with me, then let's go solve this problem together. And this company's going to die or succeed solving this problem. I don't want to build another tool that just asks the tool chest to do like 60%. I want to solve the problem of analyzing data. And I want to make it that anyone can answer any question instantly without worrying about anything. That's the world. And if you do that, you'll create a better world. That's what I want to do. I want to solve this problem. And everyone like held hand in hand and we were like, okay, we're all going to solve this problem. And like, I think before that conversation, I was probably at the lowest I've ever been in the company. As you imagine, like just like months of just being destroyed.
You know, it's a beautiful, a story now to tell because I'm sure when you're leaving that moment, you know, it's not that beautiful. It's the most uncomfortable situation you have to go through. But that's where, you know, the challenge, you know, you deal with, you know, makes you an entrepreneur, right? So it makes you an entrepreneur who has sort of, you know, faced those adversity and in your life and you have gone through it. And then now you're, you know, up and running and you have customers. Now we're paying for your service. And when you look back, you know, how do you feel like, you know, do you feel like, okay, this was a great decision that you've taken?
Yeah. I am so happy with Narrator. I have like the best world. I get to build something that I'm passionate about and every day go to work super excited. And I get to work and everyone feels the same way. Where everyone is just so happy to get to build what we do. And you get to see something that like, there's just moments in the day that I get to see so often that I think just make all the pain worth it. And it's the customers who are like messaging us saying like, wow, I thought this would take me forever and I did it. And now I'm like, the company's just like made another $200,000. People who are saying like, hey, I always thought data was a nightmare and now we are just answering free. We can answer any question. We have access and comfort. Data people who are like, hey, this is like a true innovation. Forbes 30 under 30 came because one of our customers nominated us for what we were doing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the people that they see the difference and then they go like, oh my God, this is not like another tool. This is just a whole different way of doing everything. Like we talk with our head of data, Brittany, me and I heard a talk and she goes like, yeah, you kind of have a lot of job security from me. And I was like, why? And she goes, well, like, there's no other company in the world doing what we're doing. And there's no way I can work the old way. I'm not going to spend like months doing this work, which I know I can do a Narrator in 5 minutes. So like, I have no other job. You kind of like, I have to be here. And you're like, yeah, like you forget that the old way, or sometimes we'll meet new customers and they'll tell us about a problem that they're facing. And I would remember, I'm like, oh my God, that I remember the torture. I remember like, here's a story. One time there was like an executive at WeWork and they wanted to know out of everyone who calls us, people who call us, how likely are they to buy? Okay. So like they're trying to figure out whether when somebody calls us or when someone like submits a form on the website, like how likely are they to purchase? So we want to know what the conversion rates are and kind of figuring out if we should push people toward calling or web visits. Well, this seems like a simple problem. Somebody calls us or someone visits sites and then buys. And I remember sitting with the executive trying to explain to him why this would take us 2 months to do. And he's like, I don't get it. This is ridiculous. I call and then I buy. I don't know how hard it is. Tell me how many people called, how many people bought. Like, this is such a stupid problem. How are you making this so hard? Like, just give me this answer. And I had to spend so much time explaining to him the nuances of data and why this is, and forget, you probably are listening to me and you're like, I don't get why it's hard either. But I can tell you, like, it's a very hard data problem. And I spent like a month of my life to get this answer, and it was miserable. And then it was like, well, then how do you validate if it's right or wrong? And then it conflicted with some of the previous analyses that was done in Salesforce, which was wrong. And you just had like a nightmarish of getting a source of truth, data aligned, answering the question and knowing it's correct. And you didn't know if the crazy thing that you built is right or wrong. So there's like hundreds of lines of SQL that you're trying to figure out if it's right or wrong. And I get to like see my customers today who use Narrator get that question and go like, okay, here it is. Like they are like, they forgot that it's a hard problem. They just go, oh, it's like two clicks. Like, I don't get it. I don't know why it's a hard problem. And then I see customers coming in that are new leads, and I'm like telling them, they're telling me this, like their biggest problem is tying calls to conversion. And I'm like, I get you. And I'm so excited for you to spend like, to like in like a couple of months, this will no longer be a problem. You're going to forget that this used to be a problem. I promise you that. So those kind of moments are a constant reminder that like you're making people's lives a lot better. You're doing something truly unique and beautiful, and you're solving a problem that like has existed for so many years, and it's going to change so much of how we think and make decisions. So when I get that feeling, it's just like, you're just so re-energized and you keep going.
Yeah, I mean, these are the moments that you live for, you know, as an entrepreneur, is that, you know, you've seen a vision and you've solved a problem, and now people appreciate you for solving the problem that they had, you know. So it's interesting the way you are sort of, you know, building your company. Now, in terms of your organizational structure, how many people now are working for you at the moment?
We're eight.
Eight. Okay. And now when you look at the growth that you had, you know, after the initial, you mentioned you had to let go some of the employee, how do you see this growth going forward? And what are some of the things that you are trying to achieve in the nearest future?
Yeah. So one of the things that we have learned is that don't follow what everyone else is doing. Because a lot of times that there's a lot of things that people just do because you think you need to do it. And we spend a lot more time being methodical and questioning whether we do it. I don't know why companies have 100,000 engineers. Like, it's just like not very helpful. So we keep our team very small, very, very kind of senior and very talented. So a couple of things that we do that is very unique is, for example, we don't have anyone who works. We have no product people. Mm-hmm. We have no support people. We have no designers. And those are like usually roles that a lot of kind of software companies have. But if you use our product, it's beautiful and it's very, the UX is incredible. And if you hop on our support chat, you're going to get a data person who understands data that can answer your vague question and your user product question. Or if you report a bug, an engineer will chat with you and they'll go and fix it. Like, what we've done is that we've decided that we're going to trade quantity of building for quality. So our product doesn't, it allows you to answer every question, and it's going to allow you to generate any analysis pretty soon with our newest feature. And then that's pretty much it. What we're going to do is make that experience a little bit better. We're not going to add a bunch of features. We're not going to cloud the products. We don't need a lot of people to do it. Like, we need to kind of keep our team small, expertise, and kind of build the best system and leverage the world that exists there so that we're not just constantly building new things. And I think that's, it kind of like makes the growth curve look a lot different for your employees. And you've seen a lot of companies do it, like WhatsApp, Instagram, both went public, were worth over $1 billion. They had less than 40 people. Like, it is insane. And I used to be at WeWork, where WeWork was hiring 35 people a week. And we used to make a joke where we say, like, for every three junior engineers we hired, we have to hire a senior engineer to undo their work. Like, it's true. Like,
yeah.
And then you hired all these product people who were like, a product person's job is to build features, and they end up building a lot of features. Well, that is just your product gets really messy and hefty. So the goal for us is like, as our team grows, to grow, to add people, to treat our employees the best we possibly can and grow this team slowly, but build something that is truly incredible. And I think that the big thing that we have, which is kind of like, we're not in a race. There's no fire. There's no one building what we're doing. And we're innovation, which is great. So we kind of have like a very big leader advantage. And that allows us to kind of take our time to make sure we're building it right. People often say, like, they talk about like, oh, like you can build Amazon on Shopify in like 10 minutes. Yeah, you can, but you're not going to tune it the way that Amazon tunes everything it has. And it's all those like 1% improvements across your entire system that creates an experience that makes your product stand out. So that's what we spend a lot of our time kind of doing, is how do we make it even smarter? How do we make it one less click? How do we avoid, keep everything consistent? How do we get people to have a really good mental model? And we built a lot of great work. Like the way that we do our product and design is we prototype it, we test it with customers, we iterate on it, we use design systems that have already been thought out. And it allows the experience to just be what people, like kind of their ideal experience. And we have the luxury of time to kind of iterate through it. And we build tools and places to enable us to kind of build really fast prototypes. And that kind of just led to a very different culture. And personally, I like it. And I think our customers like it too. I think our customers like that when they're like, hey, something's wrong. Like, it's not like, we appreciate your concern and we'll get back to you in 2 days. They're like, oh, I wrote that code. Give me a second. Let me hop in and let me see what the issue is. I'll debug it for you so that no one else has that problem. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is one of the epitome. I'll tell you this last thing. At one point, I think this was like a month ago, Narrator had no bugs. Like, we had no more bugs. We were like out of bugs to fix. We were like, oh, like no bug reports like anymore. Like we're like, oh, there's currently no bugs. Okay, engineers, we're writing blogs now. Like,
that's unheard of, right? You know, most of the time I'm a consultant and I help companies with the transformation and organization and so forth. So I see the product managers or product management team, they have a list of bugs, you know, archives of bugs that they need to fix, but still they release the product, you know, and it's unheard of, like I said, that you don't even have bugs.
Yeah. Well, we'll get new bugs, of course, but at one point to go to zero was like a moment we all celebrated. We're like, what is going on? But again, this is the point. Like at that moment, I think there was a decision that I made that I think most people won't make, which is when the engineering team was like, now we had like a low, because we don't build a lot of features and we didn't have bugs. What do you do with your engineers? Mm-hmm. Do they just build new features, or do you just build something that is not high priority? Do you build something that like is a nice to have, not a need to have? Or do you use them differently? And I think 99% of companies will lean toward, let's build all the fun features that we want to build. And I think that's what causes products to be cloud. So instead, I was like, no. Like, it's okay to have engineers be doing more support. It's okay to use, even though they're engineers and they're very rare, it's okay for them to write a blog. Because at the end of the day, they're Narrator employees first and engineers second. And we do whatever Narrator needs to succeed. And I think that was like an interesting decision that was made, which was like, just write about like things you learned, like share, educate the world. And it's okay that we don't have to constantly be building features.
But do you also have a lot of customer requests as in, okay, we don't want to invest a lot of time in creating new features, you know, the fun features, like you said, but still there might be some requests from customers, like, you know, you want those to be implemented. Maybe it has been requested by 1 or 2% of the customers, but then what kind of decision process do you take in terms of, you know, onboarding those requests?
Yeah. So we have, it's very interesting. Yeah. So I think the most important thing is to provide clarity of what you are and what you are not. And I think that we provide a lot of clarity that if you're trying to create any data and use that data, Narrator is designed for you. If you're trying to do like other things, like we may or may not do it, but we can connect with other systems that help you. So usually the way that Narrate is set up, like there isn't that many feature requests that we get. Mm-hmm. Most people are still like, they went from not like struggling to get data to now having the ability to ask and answer any question. And they are like super happy. And then when there are feature requests, usually they're very, very minor. They're like, hey, can you help us like filter this index by this other feature? So there, we haven't seen like an influx of feature requests because we built our systems to be a lot more, when you build a product for not for a single use case, you kind of build it in this world of any. Like you're not like when you're building an e-commerce site, then they're like, oh, I want to look at it by product. I want to look at it by category. Ooh, I want to look at it by color. Like there's just an infinite number of questions. So there's an infinite number of requests. But when you build a system to answer any question, there isn't that many requests because anything they need to do is they can do it. And there are some requests that we are okay with saying no to. Like some people often ask us, can we add more visualization? Because Narrator only does two visualizations. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, we actually deliberately, we use libraries that allow us to do a lot of visualizations and we turn them all off because we believe that the best way to communicate data is through bars and line plots, especially because data is live. And you can read my blog post about why that's important, why that's really nuanced, but that's kind of our opinion. So sometimes where requests conflict our opinion, sometimes requests are simple, we'll add them to our backlog and we'll do them. But we don't get that many requests as people often would think. Like we have some stuff with security and that we're always kind of adding and management that's being added. And every now and then we do get like a one-off request that is like very important to a customer, but it's not core to product. So we have an entire, like we call them like single page, because we built a whole prototyping layer where we can give in a separate part of the app, you can get access to small prototypes that you can use. So we actually do that a lot with our customers, where if someone needs something that's like very, like that someone else might need, but is not like core to Narrator, we'll build it as like a side thing as outside of the app in our prototyping language, which like looks good, but like isn't like, it doesn't have all the, it's just like a prototyping. It feels and uses like a prototype. An example of that is we have a couple of like consultants and data companies that they use Narrator for every one of their clients. And they needed an easy way to copy and paste the work that they were doing for one client to another client. And that's like not core to Narrator. So we would build a prototype that allows them to kind of copy and paste their work from one client to another client. And now this company has access to that one prototype and they can use it whenever they need without worrying about like us worrying about like kind of making our system very heavy and kind of adding layers and layers of stuff to the system.
So before we wrap it up, I was wondering, how do you see the future of your company, Narrator, and also how do you see your own future, you know, associated yourself within the company?
Narrator standardizes data so that you can ask and answer any question. And what we're going to do next, which is the next big release, is not only can you ask and answer any question, what if you can automatically get a full, well thought out, expert written analysis? We have given them for our companies. We're going to enable you to now any analysis that you need, you can auto generate it. So that if you're a non-technical, you can have the mathematical rigor of checking for consistency and significance and correlation for you instantly written in a story to give you, so you can kind of like an AI data analyst available for you. You just kind of ask the question and it generates that entire report for you instantly. Then we also still have our library, which is constantly growing, where we're building like nuanced analysis that we can just kind of run for any company. So like your CAC analysis or your attribution, what attribution model should you use? We have a library of these analyses that continues to grow that we make available to our customers. The next dimension will be to open up that world to everyone, which is going to be the Narrator store, where anyone who builds a nuance, you can answer almost all the generic questions in Narrator. Any quick question you can answer in Narrator, you can get data you need. You can answer that question instantly in Narrator with the mathematical rigor of a data scientist. But if you have a one-off nuance questions that you've answered, you're going to be able to upload that to a store that anyone else can buy and use. And then you have a community where all the common questions you can answer instantly in Narrator, and all the last 10% of questions that are nuanced, you can copy and paste from any other company that has done it available in a store. And we do this thing without data ever leaving, and it's like a very it's a very narrative way of thinking about, like, we kind of capture the way that that analysis was done instead of the data or the analysis. And I think once you achieve those two things, you've created a world where any question can either be answered in Narrator or looked up in our store, and data is truly commoditized. And then we got to just bring that experience to more and more and more people. And I think slowly we're going to get there. So that's kind of the world that I would like to see. And that's where Narrator is going. When it comes to where I'm going, so I think that's going to change and evolve. I'm a very naive person when it comes to building a company. I would like the company to stay very small and continue this approach, but I'm sure that the years and years of other companies and not being able to do that tells me that I'm going to run into challenges that I have yet to foresee. But I would like to continue kind of a lot of the work that I do today, still leading the company, making sure people can move forward and make sure their product is delivered, and then spending, like, growing the company and then spending my time just in all the key branches of the company, constantly working with the team. So whether that's sales and going to sales meetings and every now and then, just to make sure that I still have a very good pulse on what people are doing, spending my time on support where I get to respond to customers asking questions, and then spending some time with data and doing some analyses just to kind of, I love that stuff. I think that's the dream, is I get to kind of continue what I'm doing today as the company grows. So that's what I hope happens, but I'm sure that that's not going to happen. And I'm excited for that new experience also, and then learning something new.